We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the lands and waters where we're recording from, the Worimi and Wanarua peoples. We acknowledge the Worimi and Wanarua elders, both past and present.
Who is on the field for the Newcastle Knights? Darren Tracy's first touch of the footy. Now Andrew John. Tries a little hole himself. He's close. Right. Reaches out. That's a try to Andrew John. Bruce Brick from the little halfback. And that's a good reward for a great game in his debut match for the Newcastle Knights in first grade. Andrew John scores the try, and that should wrap it up for the night.
Coming to you live from Worimi, Wanarua land, this is still the Bay 53 podcast, part of the Sports Best Friends podcasting network, still brought to you by Bretto and your good friend, the K-Dog. Well, we have dusted off the microphones to just keep recording, fresh off the back of looking at how well things have gone over the past 2 to 8 weeks. We've then decided to look into the crystal ball and look into the future to see what may happen, just to give our Knights fans those that content that you so crave. So, Bretto, we're recording this shortly after the last regular season team list Tuesday for the year. It's weird as a Knights fan, and let's be honest. We've said a lot of things that have been weird as Knights fans for the past 2 months, but today it's probably weird as Knights fans to see a team list where we've got half a dozen players out and we're not reaching for the shoelaces and razor blades about our chances this weekend. It's just a wild time to be a Newcastle Knights fan.
Yeah, well, you look at, I'm just getting it up now. You look at that team list, and let's just straight up.
The idea that we would have anything resembling confidence about a Newcastle Knights team where Kalyn Ponga wasn't named would have been an insane concept if someone had said, well, it was. It was an insane concept earlier this year.
Yeah. So I'll go just a quick go through these teams. Okay. So Lockie Miller, Dom Young, Inari Tuala, Bradman Best, Greg Marju, Tyson Gamble, Clooney Tunes, Jacob Safidi, who's captain. Congratulations to Jacob. Farmanu Brown, Leo Thompson, Dylan Lucas, Brody Jones, Adam Elliott, and then the bench is young Riley Jones making his debut, Curry Curry Jr., local legend, DSAF, Jack Hetherington, Croaks, and then extended bench of Jack Johns, Oren Keeley, Lockie Fitz, Jacko, and young David Armstrong, who's the fullback in the cup team. So you look at that team and you go, well, yeah, we've rested a lot of really good players, but there's a lot of really good players still on that team list. Like,
yeah.
So you sort of go and go, well, all those guys have got first grade experience. Farmani Brown, you know, is new to our club, but he's been around the traps and he's a really solid backup, you know.
I thought he played well against the Sharks.
He's a good player. Debut. He's one of those guys that just hasn't quite, you know, made it, you know. He's right on the edge of being a first grader. So you say there's nothing there where you're feeling let down. You know, you got Dylan Lucas getting another game he deserves. We all, you know, Brody is perfectly solid on the edge. You know, Clooney's shown how good he is. The back line, Inari, you know, he's the only sort of thing. Lockie showed that he's a first grader. Yeah, as I said, you got the young Riley making his debut, and he's extremely talented, Riley Jones. He's literally a Danny Badiris clone in terms of he was a 5'8" who has become a hooker. Yeah, right. I mean, he's got that natural ball playing of a 5'8". He's really promising. And then you've got the rest of your standard first grade bench. So that's a really solid team. Good, and we might not win because you know the Dragons are going to play full strength, and we've got you know a few guys out, and you know maybe our minds on other things. But you don't look at that team and think, well, they're going to get pumped.
Ben Murdoch Masilla is on the bench, Bretto.
Ben Murdoch Masilla, and the fact that he's still playing first grade in round 27 shows you where the Dragons are at.
It's funny, you know, earlier in the year when we did our ladder prediction and we said, look, best case scenario, the Knights finish 7th on 12 wins if other results go our way. I still remember at the time I was saying, I was like, hey, I've got the Dragons finishing 9th. And you were like, K-Dog, you're cooked. I'm like, no. You look at their roster and you look at the way they're sort of like, K-Dog, they got Ben Murdoch Masilla in their top
And you nailed it, mate. They are. Hey, if we put 60 points on them, they are a. Are they still a chance to get the spoon? Are they no, out
I
of?
I think they're two. No, I think they're clear.
No, they're clear.
Yeah, I think they are. Let's have a quick squeeze if we can get it up. Oh my
no,
God! Where's...
No, Brett. No, they are 2 points clear of the West Tigers.
And what's so if the Tigers beat?
If Tigers beat Manly. And we beat them Dragons by enough to close the points differential.
Yeah.
West Tigers can avoid the spoon. So
why don't Tigers fans get on board? I will also point out that one of us picked the Tigers to make the eight this year, and it wasn't me.
I didn't say that in my ladder predictor, did I?
I don't know. You told me many times, and I laughed at you many times. Look,
I definitely said it in the preseason off air because at the end of the day, look, can I be honest with you? I definitely don't think I picked them last year to make the eight. I did not. I promise you, I did not say they were going to make the eight this year because I was like, I remember saying to Nagy off air, I said, this West Tigers team is an absolute basket case of an organisation. And I know that's stones from glass houses, but if anyone knows basket cases, it's Newcastle Knights fans, and I was entitled to make that comment. And
I'm just having a look at the ladder, mate. Like, so who do you think has been the most disappointing team this year?
One moment, please. Oh, well, you have to say at this stage, I think you have to say the Roosters. They were pegged as, you know, top four contenders again. The fact that they're coming 10th and they need other results to go their way, it's probably a toss up between the Cowboys, the Roosters, and the Bulldogs.
Well, I the Cowboys are exactly where I predicted them to be. I said in the preseason pod that they were a sort of bottom of the half of the eighth, ninth, tenth sort of team. So they're
actually the Eels as well.
Yeah, to me, it's the Eagles in terms of they've had a pretty run with injuries this year. Mm. Now, most of their guys have been on board. I know they had Dylan Brown with his stuff late in the year, but they were still cooked before that. To me, it's the Eagles because the Roosters have had a stack of injuries.
Yeah.
And the Eagles have gone from grand finalists to out of contention a couple of weeks out from the finals. To me, it's the Eagles. But we also tipped the Eagles to be down, you know, the bottom half of the eight. But I think they've been even worse than that.
What are you sort of looking for from the Knights against the Dragons? I mean, first of all, should the expectation be a win, or is that just overshooting a little bit in terms of, because I'm thinking from Ben Darwin's perspective is like, look, that's a lot of changes to make to one team, regardless of how sort of dysfunctional the Dragons are. It sort of feels like a bit of a step too far to be saying out there, you know, it does feel like Monty Burns sort of saying to Daryl Strawberry, you know, go out there, hit a home run. You know, Knights edge fringe first graders, go and win a game. It sort of feels like there's a bit of pressure on them on that one.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I think for a one-off game, the changes don't matter as much. Like, I think, yep, don't think you can replicate that multiple times. And a team on so high on confidence. And as I said, it's not like we're bringing in a team of children. You know, most of the guys we're bringing in are all experienced first graders.
Well,
you know,
actually, yeah,
one debutant.
As you pointed out, that 1-7, there's actually every chance that at some point during the season, that's probably been a potential starting lineup for us. When you consider how Lockie was going, you know, what was happening with Kalen. It's not like Inari Tuala is. Inari has been great this year. Like, he's had a phenomenal, funnily enough, despite playing probably he has played his least games for the club this season in a season. He's been great for us when he's played. So yeah, there's actually that, there's a lot of firepower in that 1-7. And then, as we've sort of pointed out, the forward pack, it competes. Like, at this stage, the way the Dragons are going, our forwards compete with the Dragons players. So yeah, I think the expectation is to focus on the performance, but I don't think a win should be out of the question.
No, I expect us to. No, I'll tip us, and I'll tip us anyway, but I'll go down there thinking we're a really good chance of winning because, yeah, we're on a roll and those guys are playing well. And it's going to be a really good barometer for Adam O'Brien in terms of for the offseason for next year.
Mm.
He's going to see all those guys, you know. Well, this game, you know, who is the one saying to me, well, you've got to pick me in the 17 next year? Like, I, you know, I'm maybe the 20th player on the list right now, but next year I should be in the 17. Who are the guys putting their hands up and, you know, taking their one opportunity and going, pick me, pick me, pick me? You know, a guy like Dylan Lucas, to me, walks straight into Lockie Fitz's spot next year at the moment. But if he then comes out as a shocker and doesn't put in this week, Adam O'Brien goes, well, maybe your attitude's not right there, son. You know, you need to earn your spot. So I think you'll learn a lot about a lot of those guys. You know, Brody Jones now looks like getting another year because of the way the roster sort of thing. We need another middle forward to balance the squad out a bit. So, you know, so Brody's a chance to put his hand up and say, you know, like, I'm still here, coach, you know, put me in. There's a lot of those guys. Riley Jones, you know, like, he's going, well, he's not quite ready yet, but if we get next year, you know, we can't rely on Brails to be completely fit. So if Brails then has another year where he's not fit, is Riley Jones going, well, I'm your backup hooker now, coach. You know, Phoenix is your starter. I'm your 14. It's so many permutations in terms of the roster for next year that come out of this one game, you know. So I think Adam O'Brien would really, really be looking forward to it.
Jacob Saifidi, captain. I texted you when I saw the team. Sorry, I messaged the lads and I said, Jacob Saifidi, captain, Daniel Saifidi still on the bench. I think Daniel Saifidi might kill someone this weekend. So can we talk a little bit about Daniel? Because has Daniel played himself out of starting for the Newcastle Knights short of injury ever again? Like the form that he has shown off the bench, for me... I mean, the only other comparable player for me at the moment off the bench as a front row forward is Spencer Leniu. And Spencer Leniu is widely regarded as, you know, one of the – he's going to the Roosters with this big reputation next year. And, sorry, a rightly established reputation. But for me, the way Dan Saifidi has played off the bench over these past few weeks, he's probably been competing as one of the best props in the game. He's just found another level. And I don't know if that's because he's more explosive against tired forwards, if he's trying to prove a point, like he's taking being benched personally. I don't know what it is. But I just feel like the better he plays off the bench, the more he's proving to Adam O'Brien, this is your spot now. This is where you work best for this team.
I don't think... in terms of starting, he won't start again. But I think that when we're full strength, the starting props in the next going forward is Jacob, Leo, Daniel on the bench. I think if Jacob was injured, I think that Daniel would start. If Leo was injured, I don't think Daniel would start. I think he likes having one twin on the bench, one twin starting. Yep. And I think that he's realised that Jacob's the better starter and Daniel's the better bench player.
Why do you think Jacob is a better starter than Dan? Because we've sort of talked a lot about...
Jacob's your workman, Daniel's your explosive guy. So Spencer Leniu, when Penrith rest all their players, and Spencer Leniu's their most experienced middle forward, he still doesn't start. So they've had times there where they've had like guys making debuts starting, and Spencer Leniu's still on the bench because that's his spot. That's where the coach sees him best. So I think that Daniel has got to that point. I still think Daniel would start if Jacob wasn't playing, but Daniel's spot in that team at full strength is on the bench because he's the explosive one. He's the one that can really punch holes in a tired defence, and we've realised that really... Because we've noticed over the last few weeks how good we play in the first half. That's because Daniel comes on and punches holes in them, and Kalen and Jacko play off the back of that.
You know, it's funny. I'm actually just looking at this Dragons team at the moment and how they line up against us. The Dragons team's not good.
Oh, if they didn't have Ben Hunt, they would be a three-win team.
Yeah, they are. Like, I'm actually astonished at when I look at that team now. And quite frankly, if Adam Elliott doesn't go out there and absolutely destroy Jack DeBellin, then he's having a laugh.
I'll tell you one thing I'm really excited about, and that's Dylan Lucas running at their edge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no doubt in my mind I'm having some money at Dylan Lucas anytime Draska is.
Hey, can we give a shout-out to Jack Hetherington as well? Because of all the play, if someone had told you that the Knights are going to be copping a sin bin against the Dolphins over in Perth, the first reaction would have been, well, what the fuck has Jack Hetherington done this time? He's been really... Because remember we were sort of saying, look, these sin bins... we're not getting the reward against this risk where you keep getting marched for being an idiot. He got sold a really good one against the Tigers. And remember at the time, that got back to 22 to 18. So we were really down on him at the time. But he's even he's curbed that aggression and become a fairly consistent contributor to the site. Because remember we were saying as well in the first half of this, he's not getting any minutes. And in the end, we realized, you're like, well, why would you give him minutes? You can't trust this guy. But again, he's sort of flown under the radar now, gone out, done his job. And it's good that we're not talking about him because to date, we've been talking about him for the problems he's caused us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like the coach had no trust in him. That was obvious. And he had the coach's trust. And not only just the sin bins, it's the lazy high tackles, the giveaway field position. You know, it's the silly little errors. It's those sort of things that, he couldn't be trusted. But as he's earned the coach's trust, he's got more minutes and he's taken that opportunity and he's been really good the last few weeks. And as anyone that listened from this preseason knows, I was high on him because he's a really talented forward. He's got great leg speed. He's big. He's got an offload in his game. But he's just so poor at times between his ears. And if we can harness that, there's a really good player there. I still think he's got a big part to play in this team going forward.
Adam O'Brien has sort of shown himself to be, actually, funnily enough, has shown himself to be something of a development coach. You look at the way he's sort of turned, I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. So when I say Adam O'Brien has done, assume that I'm talking about the entire coaching staff. We'll take it on board that they've all played their part. But the way that coaching staff has turned Dom Young into the complete package, so we're going to send a complete winger to the Sydney Roosters. But the thing about Dom is that he's not a one-off. Like Inari Tuala came to us with his problems, that untapped potential that two seasons in a row, he was our top try scorer and he's been, he's been hard to drop. Well, I mean, he's forced the likes of Mr. Reliable Heimel Hunt, who hasn't had a look in this year. Greg Margie this season speaks for himself. But Leo Thompson as well. Leo Thompson and Dylan Lucas are almost emblematic of those forwards that he's developed from, let's be honest, out of nowhere to be these contributors that this weekend we're sort of anticipating that we expect them to perform at an above average first grade standard. And that, some credit has to go to the coaching staff in getting those players to that level that fans are talking about them like this.
The big difference with Adam O'Brien in the off-season, the pre-season and this year has been last year went so horribly wrong. He realized that he's always been a development coach. Right at the Storm, he was their under 20s coach, and he was basically their development coach. That was his role at the club. So that's what he's good at. And I think that once he got the head job, he kind of wanted to be the head coach and run everything. And it didn't work. And then 2 years ago, two pre-seasons ago, he then handed off a lot to other coaches and that didn't work because he didn't do enough himself. Whereas I think in this offseason, he found the balance of, I've got Greeny to run the attack. I've got Rory Costation to run the defence and I'll help him there a bit. But my job is to make my players better because that's what I'm good at.
Mm.
And we've seen that, and he said that. And the perfect example was Greg Marjorie not starting this season in first grade. Because in the preseason, Greg had played well. We all thought, Greg's ready to go. He'll get picked. And he didn't get picked. And I was like, that's a bit of a shock. And as he goes, no, he's got a couple of things he's got to go back and work on. 2 weeks later, he's in the team and he hasn't looked back ever since. That's the kind of thing that has changed. He's taken over the bit of the club that he knows inside out, which is getting the best out of players. And this year, guys are having career years, but they're not having career years because they've just found form. They're having career years because the weaknesses out of their game have gone away.
You are listening to the Bay 53 podcast.
So you and I were talking a bit about this off air in terms of this idea of career years, in terms of, a lot of stars have had to line up, in order for the results to go our way. And look, granted, there is a very valid line of argument, but let's be honest, any time a team strings, you know, because we've got the longest winning streak in the comp at the moment. So any time a team strings that number of games together, obviously a lot of players have to be performing at their best for that to happen. Even, you know, even the Panthers. But the argument could be that the point of difference with the Knights, though, has been is that you look at the 8-game winning streak compared to the first half of the season, where, you know, we dragged ourselves to that 5-win record after halfway through the season. It's not like the players who are now suddenly playing better are playing exponentially better. Like there've been these 1 and 2 percenters that everyone's added to their game, and then you're throwing in Kalen, who's probably not yet even reaching his potential, but he's starting to get closer to it. Those are the factors that say to you, well, there's no reason why this has to be a one-off occurrence. This actually could be the complete product we thought this team was, and let's see now if they've got them in it to maintain that standard, you know, into next season, into future seasons.
Yeah, that's right. Guys haven't jumped down to the ground in terms of they've gone from shit to good when the team's gone from losing to winning. Guys have gone from patchy form where their form was, they've been really solid, and they've, you know, and they're having their moments, their weeks where they're not great, to every week, you know, they're gone from, you know, there's no more 5 out of 10, you know. A bad week for someone at the moment is 6 out of 10, you know, but in average, most of the team are 7, 8, 9s. And that's not purely because guys have just found form and found confidence and that sort of stuff. That's just because guys have had consistent football. So guys that have had broken seasons like in the past, you know, Brady couldn't put a season together. This year he has. Tyson Gamble never got a run of games anywhere he's ever played. This year he has. Phoenix Crossland, you know, never got a run of games. This year he has. Greg Marjorie never got a run of games. This year he has. Those guys have just played week by week by week. And it's amazing. Once a guy gets it in his head that I'm a genuine first grader now, the game is so much easier. Because they're not worried about their spot every week. Then, you know, they're not panicking that if I shit game, I'm gone, you know? Because at the time of Greg's career, with Greg played like he did against the Dolphins, he wouldn't have seen first grade again for the rest of the year.
Well, you know what's actually funny about Greg, and this is where history has a tendency to rewrite itself, because you know how Greg ended up making his debut for the Knights. It wasn't coming in for Heimel Hunt. He came in for Dom Young.
Because Dom had a stinker.
Because Dom had a stinker against the Dolphins. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so funny to look back on that now in terms of. At the time, we didn't want to see Dom Young again.
No.
But what we know now is that these were the standards that the club was putting in place. Now, I want to talk about two other people in the club as well. One we've spoken a lot about this year, Peter Parr. But I think we've finally reached the stage where we get to talk a little bit about Craig Catterick. We have spent decades, literal decades, begging the club, urging the club, saying, please, fuck the centre of excellence. Just forget everything else. Put all of your investment in keeping these fucking players healthy. That is what you should be focusing on. And whatever Craig Catterick did in the off-season, whatever he put in place, whatever he is a part of, he has been phenomenal at looking after these players this year. And he absolutely deserves a considerable amount of credit to come his way when you think about club doctors past who have just not been able to get that consistency out of the health of these players that he's managed to do this year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A lot of credit's got to go to him.
Because he was broken last year. He was a broken man last year.
He absolutely was. And as we say all the time, you know, we sit behind the nice bench, so we see what goes on, you know, with players coming on and off. And Craig Catterick just has full trust of the players.
Mm.
Like, he just has full trust of the players. Like, even when Kalen didn't want to go off the other day with the shoulder, because Craig said, you actually watched the footage, Craig said to him, like, you're coming off, mate. And then Kalen sort of, you know, moves his arm, goes, I'm fine. And then Craig kind of like looked at him and went, well, I'm gonna give you a little bit of rope. But the next time Callum grabbed his shoulder, Craig went, no, mate, you're off, you're gone.
Yeah.
And then actually in front of us, Peter Parr was there, and Peter Parr was screaming to get him off the field. But Craig Catterick was the man in the middle going, it's okay, Kalen, calm down, you're upset, you're hurt, you blah, blah, blah. But he just has that rapport with the players, where the players trust him.
Mm.
And that's so important, because that guy's in charge of their health. And it's like, you know, you've got this Ferrari at fullback. If you go looking after him, your mechanic on the services is no good. Your Ferrari's worth fuck all.
Mm.
Yeah, you're putting $11 million on the salary cap into your team. If the guy looking after him is not doing his job, you're throwing $11 million in the shitter. You know, that's where the club needs to invest that money, and they have. And they clearly got the off-season right, because this season they've built into it so well. And the Barley decision, not necessarily Barley, but, you know, that decision to give them a week off that first bye to do whatever they wanted to do, I'm sure came from guys like Carey Catterick and the other strength and conditioning guys and the doctors, as well as Adam O'Brien, saying that's how we think the point of the season is, where these players will start to feel it, and that's when they'll need a rest. And they got that 100% correct. And the outside world was screaming at them, you guys are a joke. You don't know how to run a football club. You're weak. You don't train hard enough. And they just stuck to the plan. And now we're the freshest team running into September.
Hey, can we, we didn't intend to talk about this, but as we're recording, I think it's, perfect timing for us to talk about it. It's breaking news that the Canterbury Bulldogs are imploding. Apparently, one of their players has stormed out of the club on the basis that he was filthy on punishment, as he saw it, for having to wrestle, resulting in him having to wrestle 12 blokes. Now, I don't really care if the story's true or not. I mean, we're happy to talk about it. But can I say this? The reason I'm pay particular attention to it, and I find it particularly funny, is that the director of football for the Canterbury Bulldogs, P. Gould, made a very big point of criticising the culture of the Newcastle Knights because of, how we didn't, as he perceived it, the management of the players wasn't particularly well done over the infamous Barley bye. And here we are, sort of 4 months later, where we're getting ready for a home final while his players are storming out of training, happy that they've avoided the spoon. It's very funny to me. How, rugby, a less than great man once said, but he did say correctly, that rugby league is the soap opera of rugby league. It genuinely does continue to deliver.
Oh, rugby league's amazing. it's an amazing sport. I think it's a bit of a strange thing, because AFL is a bit like that too, but it's rugby. I think it's Sydney. I think it's the Sydney.
No. AFL, hang on. AFL is Franklin's rugby league when it comes to the off-field drama, because their sense of self-worth, just it's so overwhelming that the drama just sort of feels. I mean, you've got to remember, you're talking about a sport there where they call it a "where were you" moment when they found out Wayne Carey was cheating on it. Yeah, you can't compare the two. They think that rugby league is the purest of the pure, just sports drama at its finest.
It's just, as I said, it's just so Sydney. It's real housewives of rugby league. It's such an amazing game in the fact that it tears itself apart 24/7. But every time it tears itself apart, it comes back bigger and better. It just amazes me. The game literally tore itself apart in the 90s. It tore itself in half.
Yes.
It had two competitions going against each other on the same TV network, mind you, Jen and I. And they came back together in 99 for one of the greatest grand finals ever played. It's amazing.
Rugby union in 1997 must have been going, finally. After 90 years of this shit sport, they're finally going.
And rugby league was at its peak. The Wallabies were bigger than the Kangaroos in the 90s.
We should actually record on a Tuesday night a lot more often, because the late breaking news just continues to drop. Jared Waitara-Hargreaves will be suspended for 7 matches. He has had his attempt to downgrade one of the charges. That is no dice. That is, yeah, so he's out for 7 matches. He rolled the dice and he came up snake eyes. And I think rightly so. Look, we try not to get too much into slander and libel when it comes to commentary around rugby league. But I don't understand what anybody was thinking trying to appeal the punishments that he got for his antics on Saturday night. He was off the chain. Like, it was just – he was unhinged stuff.
Because they're just used to getting away with it. That's all it is. It's just the Richard going, we'll go up in our argument. We'll take our high-priced King's Council lawyers and we'll get away with it because that's what always happens. And the NRL this year has been really good. You know, as much as the Massacre Review Committee is shit in terms of the inconsistency of gradings, in terms of going to the judiciary itself, everyone that should be guilty has been guilty.
Yeah, that's fair. Actually, that's a really good point. Yeah, I'll credit's given where it's due. I don't know. It just still sort of sticks in my craw a bit. Like, you look at what JWH did to Coruscant, and that's a 3-week penalty. And I still compare it to what the 5 weeks Jacob Saifidi got for his, you know, instinctual reflex action. Like, what Jared Waitara-Hargreaves did to Arpi, like, that was...
It was the old charge to take his head off.
Yes. Jared knew what he was doing.
Yeah, it was the old, charge in line and try to take his hand off.
Yeah, Jacob put his hand up at the time and went, yeah, I fucked up. I got that wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I don't want to ponder on that.
And as much as the Appy one was bad in that, to me the headbutt was worse.
Oh, 100%.
You know, yeah. It wasn't a vicious headbutt. You know, he didn't wind up and break his nose, but it was a deliberate headbutt. And that's, you know, and that's probably the second most cowardly act in rugby league. A bite is first. Sorry, third. So you got an eye gouge, bite, and your headbutt's third.
Mm. And I just like Uto Ikemanu. Was it Uto Ikemanu who?
Yeah, Big Steph.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you washed up. I'm like, you can't headbutt. He's right.
Did you remember Lockie Fitz gave the same to JWH? I think it was last year. JWH tried to get all JWH and Lockie Fitz. Yeah, basically gave him the mate. I don't care how tough you think you are. You're an old man.
I do remember that actually. Gosh, you know, I've got to tell you this. It's so nice. It just hits different as a Knights fan watching other clubs being in turmoil or things not going their way while we're just sitting here going, we're playing finals.
The Roosters and the Bulldogs imploding and the Newcastle Knights are smoking the pipe. What is happening in rugby league?
Hey, just on the Roosters as well, this is like, you like the Rabbitohs over the Roosters this weekend, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, no Trell's an issue. Yep. But Souths are still a better team.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
And it's at a core. Souths have a really dominant record at a core against them.
Yeah. Cam Murray's in this weekend has extended to 2028. That's a big... I actually think that's a big boon for the game as well. I don't know why I said boon. Let's just go.
Yeah, you're right. Cam Murray is exactly the kind of guy that rugby would love and rugby league should never, ever let leave.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Actually, that was one thing we didn't talk about in the last episode, just on the Souths game review. Jesus Christ, man, I didn't realise how big Cam Murray's biceps are. Yeah. They are ridiculously huge. Like, they are quad size for some people. He is, he is a very, very muscular man.
I remember they had, I think it was the Air Force shoes they had maybe last year, and he literally had to cut the sleeves out of to get around his arm.
He does not miss arm day at the gym, let me tell you that.
Down the blind, Andrew John. Inside for Elvin. Elvin will score. Elvin will score. Newcastle have won the grand final.
Okay, look, we want to talk a little bit about finals. You've been doing a little bit of a muck around on the finals predictor subsequent to the, where we potentially finish. It's weird that going into this final round, I mean, we could, there's still one of, I think about, was it 5 teams. There's still one of 5 teams, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, that we could be playing this weekend. And that's quite a bizarre, that's a very bizarre sort of situation to be finding yourself in.
Yeah, absolutely. And the scenarios are essentially we win, we finish fifth, we lose, we finish sixth. So then you talk about the last spot. So if Cronulla beat Canberra, they'll finish either fifth or sixth, depending on our result.
Yep.
Then if South win, they're in the finals, they'll finish seventh, probably. Now, the other result goes to if the Roosters
Hang on. Can we just go back to... because of points differential.
Because their points differential is good. Yep. They'll finish ahead of Canberra if Canberra will finish eighth in that sort of scenario. But that all comes down to the Cowboys playing Penrith. So the Roosters aren't guaranteed a final spot if they win. They need the Cowboys to also lose because of their for and against difference. But the Cowboys will be playing a full-strength Penrith in Penrith. So, you know, take that as you will.
Yep.
So that's the scenario. So to me, and that's why I think this week's important for us to win, because I think fifth probably means we play either the Cowboys or Canberra. And we'll smash either of those sides. You know, if we lose the finish sixth, we're more likely to play, you know, a team like South or the Roosters. You know, and to me, that's a concern just because of their finals pedigree.
Agree. No, I completely agree.
And then that's sort of that's what my thinking is. And not that I'm worried, not that I thought, you know, I think if we finish sixth and play, you know, a Roosters or a South, I think we're going to get beat. But I just, you know, it's always nice to play a team that, that don't have that pedigree of, you know, we just win finals.
Okay. Dicks on the table. Who do you think wins between the Raiders and the Sharks this weekend?
Oh, Canberra, very weak. Canberra, Cronulla would beat them, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think. And the funny thing is that, because I'm just doing the ladder predicting myself, but what I can actually see is that if the Roosters beat, I don't think there's any scenario. Yeah, the only scenario where the Raiders drop out of the eight requires the Cowboys to beat the Panthers. And the thing is that if the Cowboys do beat the Panthers, I can see the Sharks beating the Raiders because the Raiders finish outside the eight. And as we know, the Sharks don't beat... Well, I think we'd be the only top eight team that they've beaten all year. But let's say, for argument's sake, we tip all of the favourites or the teams expected to win this weekend. That would mean we would get a home final against the Raiders. Now, I think if we win this weekend and Sharks, I think hosting the Raiders is probably the best outcome for us in week one of the finals.
We've got their number. We've got their number anyway, and they've got a few injury problems and whatnot.
So the funny thing about that is that with the way I've done the ladder predictor before, and I've actually got Melbourne beating the Broncos. I think the Broncos have dropped just too many players.
Melbourne have got nobody. Melbourne are playing their key cup team.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, actually, Howarth is making his
Melbourne have got about three debuts. Melbourne are playing their key cup team.
All right, well, let's tip the Broncos. I mean, let's tip the Broncos because that bumps them up to first in any event. So if we go through to... What's happening here? Okay, so, but that's what's funny about the way this season has panned out. See, if the Broncos beat the Storm this weekend, they play the Storm in week one of the finals. And I just don't think the Broncos have got it in them to beat the Storm 2 weeks in a row.
but I think that's why the Broncos are resting on their players. I think the Broncos want the minor premiership, but I also don't think they want to play the Storm twice at full strength.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, let's just assume for argument's sake that the Broncos play the Storm. We're not going to record me doing the ladder predictor all night. But people have got far better things to do with their time. But this is the thing about – this is why us finishing fifth and beating the Raiders is an interesting one, because in week two of the finals, that would send us to Melbourne. And we're just coming off a win against Melbourne – and Melbourne will be coming off a hard fought win up in hard fought game up in Brisbane. And one thing the Newcastle Knights like to do in week two of the finals is beat Melbourne in Melbourne. So I get where Adam O'Brien's coming from this weekend in terms of we want to keep players fit for week one of the finals. But I'm with you. I think finishing fifth is very much to our advantage this weekend. Because, yeah, if you're in the – I'm of the opinion, if you're in the top six, you have to be aiming for the preliminary final, because once you get to a preliminary final, anything can happen.
And being selfish, I'd like to get to Melbourne in the second week, because we can go to Melbourne. We're not going to go to New Zealand. But, yeah. And it's purely selfish. I'd like to be able to go into the second week.
Now, can I just quickly sort of say, if we finish sixth, so if we the only result I've changed this weekend is us losing to the Dragons, and that creates a whole other thing where the Sharks now finish fifth and they play the Raiders in eighth. So we finish sixth. Let's just say we beat the Roosters. I've got the Roosters finishing seventh. This is why it becomes interesting, is that the difference for us is that finishing sixth and beat and winning at this stage, yes, as you said, if in the event that the Warriors lose against the Panthers, we then have to go to Auckland and beat the Warriors. And look, I think we match up well against them. But when you factor in the travel, when you factor in the home ground, when you factor in, you know, what's going on with the Warriors, I genuinely do think that the Warriors away are a harder assignment for us at the moment than the Storm away.
Yeah, no, I disagree with that, because the Warriors, to me, got a lot more points in them.
Yeah, very much so. So I get the idea that can we talk a little bit about just the idea of hosting a home final? Because something dawned on me today that is probably too sad for me to sort of record, but in the event that I'm able to procure tickets for whenever we play in week one of the finals, that will be my first Newcastle Knights home final in 21 years. So I haven't been to a Knights home final since Joey broke his back against the Dragons in 2002.
Same with me. Because 2006, I was living away, and I missed it, yeah.
It's such a full circle moment for me to go back in time to, I mean, not just that night, but obviously the final years of Joey's career. The idea that he would only play one more home final after that night, it's just insane to me. But also the idea that we would then only host one more home final in the next two decades, it's just extraordinary for where that club was back in 2002 as the reigning premier, finishing top two, hosting the seventh place Dragons in week one of the finals. Such a sliding doors moment in terms of where the club ended up going.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the end for Joey.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, that was the one injury that you always had injuries, but that was the one injury where the body really started to break down.
Yeah. So it's our first home final since 2006. Where were you for that game?
2006, I was living up in the country, and I actually watched that. I was away for work and watched that in a pub in Brisbane, of all places.
Really?
Yeah.
So I was overseas at the time, so I think I was watching it in the early morning of on Sky Sports over in London, and I still remember that game to this day. Jared Mullen putting the field goal followed by Joey scoring the sealer, and of course, you know, it brings back that unfortunate memory of the bizarre. I swear, Danny Badiris did one spear tackle in his entire career, and one dirty tackle. Forget spear, just one bad tackle his whole career, and it was that night. And yeah, as we know, that was really essentially the end of our season.
Yeah, it was an interesting season 2006, wasn't it? You know, like I never thought we'd win the comp, but I sort of, we just kept.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
No, I never. I just thought the top couple of sides were a bit good for us.
Yeah, right.
Because I thought Joey's passed his best. Marlowe's not ready, you know.
Yeah. I was so high on us that season because we had that top of the table clash with the Cowboys at home that we lost. But even at 4-2, I was like, I just thought there was something. It was something that was cooking in that team because it was off the back of the way we'd finished 2005. I mean, we ended up finishing that season with a 14-10 record, so we probably
and that finished... was kind of it. That was kind of it with me, like the 14-10 record. You know, like we were sort of good without being great.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I just didn't think Joey had the juice to drag us to, you know, over the line in over the grand final.
Mm. Well, it's funny when we get back to this season as well, because funnily enough, if we win this weekend, we'll have a better record than the 2016 did. So 14 wins and one draw. It's going to be a packed. Like, do you think we'll pack out more than we did for the Sharks game? Will they get? Will they get more than 29,400?
Yeah. So the reason why it's 29 is that, so essentially there's 29. I think it's like 28.5 tickets to be sold. So there's about 2,000 tickets that are NRL Gold Pass members and blah blah blah, and people that have associations with the game. So the ticket, the seats are in the corners of the grandstands, your Joey Stand, your West End. You always see those empty spaces up high in those corners. So they're essentially NRL Gold Pass members, you know, former players, former officials, people associated with clubs. They've got the NRL Gold Passes. They can go online and buy and get free tickets, but within those seats. So they're the ones that you sit up and go, why are they empty for a sellout? So that's those ones. So a lot of those for a final will be full because those people want to go watch finals. Mm. So I think we might get the 30,000 in a final, yeah.
I mean, I'm so excited about it. Because that's the other thing about the difference between the fifth and sixth position is that that'll decide whether it's Saturday or Sunday afternoon. I'm sort of Newcastle hits different when it's finals time and we're involved, because even the last, because I think after 2006, we haven't finished higher than seventh since. But even those first 2 years under O'Brien, remember that first finals game we played against Souths, and the whole week leading up to it, like they did that bit about Newcastle beforehand, and fucking Joey was doing the pregame, and he said I'm in tears just watching that footage about the town. There's something different about Newcastle when we're involved in finals. And can I say something as well? I was talking with a West Tigers fan at town who was trying to say, oh, you know, it's a good one for the battlers to see someone different in the finals. I'm like, this is actually our third finals campaign in 4 years.
Yeah, people forget that. People carry on, we don't make the finals. Adam O'Brien's been the coach 4 years and made the finals three times.
Yeah, it's like everyone thinks last year is emblematic of this team. Last year is the outlier.
Yeah.
This is actually getting closer to the team that Adam O'Brien is trying to put together. We're perennial finals contenders, not, oh, we make it occasionally. But
people sort of say, oh, you've gone out limply in the finals. So the game against South were the red hot team in the competition.
Yep.
And we were 14-0 up on them. They ended up running over us and smashing us. But, you know, we gave good count ourselves. And the Parramatta game was a dodgy freaking try.
That
gave them an 8-point lead that got them home.
It was a dodgy try, as well as David Clemmer lapse in concentration. I genuinely think that was the end of we said it. So that was the first podcast we ever did, and we sort of said that was lazy from Clem. Like we were like, yeah, that might be one of the reasons he's just not as highly rated as we think he should be. But remember, we said after that game, that was when Caelan Ponga arrived. And that's why last year becomes even more frustrating, because he dominated that game. Like, he just absolutely dominated that game in attack. And, Brett, can I ask you, you know, this finals game, how important is it to win it? Because we can't be looking at three finals losses in a row.
So that's right. So we give Adam O'Brien the credit of three finals in 4 years, but you go and round one three times, that's a concern. That's not that I'm saying that gets him fired, it absolutely doesn't get him fired. But it certainly puts a huge big monkey on the back. You go out three out of three times in the first week, you really, you know, and one of those ends up being a home final. That monkey's huge. Oh, can I also just talk about, so Caelan's got the AC sprain.
Yep.
So he's more than sprained. He's actually torn the tendon, which don't, when the AC joint doesn't matter. It's essentially a collarbone attached to the shoulder. So the needle up play, he'll play. There's no issues about that. He'll play whenever we need him to play. So I just want to sort of give people an idea of what that'll mean for Caelan in terms of playing the game. So it's going to affect him in terms of that cannonball where he throws the ball a million miles an hour across his body, that won't have the same zip. Yeah, and not because It'll hurt too much. And it will hurt because that moving your arm across
your body. He won't have the control.
But he won't have the power.
Yeah.
He won't have the power in his shoulder to be able to whip that. So the concern when he does sort of throw that, he'll throw it forward. He won't actually be able to hook his arm back around enough to throw that ball long and backwards. So that's something to look out for. That real hard cutout pass won't be that won't hurt us too much because we don't need that pass anymore. That pass reaches to throw it to the winger. We don't really do that on his side anymore. Now we the ball goes to Bradman more often than not. So that's okay. The other one will be that exactly how Ramien hit him. So when he comes to the line, throws the ball, teams will target that, and rightly so. We should target that if it was opposition. When that right shoulder is exposed, teams will whack it. And it's gonna hurt. I guarantee you, we're all gonna have heart attacks because five, six, seven times in the game, he'll be down hurt. Because even when the painkiller injection's in that shoulder, it'll still hurt when it gets whacked. It'll still get inflamed. He'll get needled again at halftime. And as NRL physio said, like, it might even get to a point in the game where he actually has to come off the field at some stage for 10 minutes to get it re-needled because he's got a whack on it. And, he can't continue. So he'll play, and it won't mean that he can't play like Kaylee. He'll still do all the things we want him to do. But that zippy pass across won't have the same zip. And, yeah, teams will whack that shoulder, and he'll be crumpled over a fair bit. So, Sky especially, brace yourself, get the tissues ready. Kaylee's going to be doing a lot of crouching down, holding his arm.
It's I think it puts into perspective as well what you were saying in the previous recording, what these players put on the line for our entertainment.
Yeah,
like that's absolutely. And, credit to the NRL physio. He's been phenomenal at giving us this insight into what players go through to get out there on a week-to-week basis. I'm sort of going to give him a bit of a backhanded compliment in a way, though, in terms of does that informed knowledge about injury, does it normalize it a bit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because now people are going to lose
appreciation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because how often now do we hear the phrase, oh, well, this is another syndesmosis injury. Or like, oh, yeah, they're having another ACL injury. And the more we know about it, we see the processes by which they have to go through.
People laugh at the term syndesmosis now. Like, it's a high ankle sprain. But now we actually know that, what we thought was a high ankle sprain. And you go, he's got a high ankle sprain. Why is he out for 8 weeks? Because it's actually, you need to get tightrope surgery to reattach it. Things we found out about those sort of things, with syndesmosis, this new word that's coming to the game, and he sort of explains it to everybody. Like, yeah, we understand what these guys actually go through. Like, a high ankle sprain is a high ankle sprain. We've all had them, and we sort of wonder why they hurt for so long. Because, it's not just twisting your ankle. It's actually, pulling tendons off the bone.
I just love the game. But more than that, I love the community. If you're a fan of rugby league or the NRL, you'll love Big T's Tees. Unique, affordable, and made for fans. Find a link to the online store in the show notes below. You'd look good in one of Big T's Tees.
Can we talk a little bit about the NRLW girls as well for this weekend? Because they've got a big game. They've got a big game down in Canberra against the Raiders. And as we were sort of saying before, top two host finals this year, Raiders are in some really good form. Can I ask you this to begin with? Are the Raiders performing above expectations or about where you expected them?
No, well above. I sort of had them about seventh on the ladder in my prediction. Yeah.
Okay. What do you? And I'll admit I haven't been paying as much attention to the Raiders as I've probably been paying more attention at laughing at the Eels and wishing we hadn't been beaten by the Cowboys. Oh, and can I say Tegan Berry? Unbelievable player. I was watching a bit of her, the highlights for her for the Dragons loss to the Titans. And the NRLW 2023 Dragons One Tegan Berry away from being the 2016 Knights. She is just incredible. Where do we beat the Raiders this weekend, and how do we get it done over the line? Do we just need to hold the fucking ball a little bit more, or what do we need to do differently to get the job done?
Yeah, so if we control the football, we win that game. So Canberra recruited really smart. So they got Samai Mataufa, who is their lock forwarding captain, and was lock forwarding captain for the Parramatta team last year in the grand final.
She's probably the best on the ground in the grand final.
She's the best lock forward in the rugby. Hannah's second, Samai Mataufa's first. I think Samai Mataufa, Hannah's a better defender, but Samai Mataufa is more damaging ball running. You know, she really, really, really pounds through the middle. So she's their middle engine, and they've got Zahara Tamara, who's a Queensland Origin half, very experienced half, and she controls the game from the halves. And they've just built really smart around. You know, they've got a lot of local girls, they've got a lot of good size in their team. But they've also got a lot of inexperience. So we should be too experienced. If we don't give them leg ups, you know, if we don't give away penalties and make mistakes in our half, which is a big thing because we've been doing a lot of that this year. We should have too many points in us. You know, we should really. And Brisbane showed that. Brisbane pumped them last week 40-8, and Canberra led 8-0. And once Brisbane had all the ball, Canberra couldn't stop them because, you know, the experience of the Broncos halves and that ripped them apart. But we should be able to do the same. But the thing is, with Canberra, the other team to beat the Roosters, and they beat the Roosters by going bang bang in a couple of opportunities early and just holding on.
Yeah.
We can't fall into the trap the Roosters fell into of taking them lightly, because if we take them lightly, they will beat us. At 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning in Canberra, you know, that's a recipe for disaster, really.
Oh, really? You think so?
Yeah, just because, you know, like it's going to be cold. It's early in the morning. You know, 11 a.m. is a lot early, though. And those girls used to playing, you know. It's, Canberra.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that. See, I thought to myself, 11 o'clock in Canberra is preferable to the 3 o'clock game out at Belmore, or the 1 o'clock game out at Belmore, where we were cooking in the heat. And I still think that heat, you and I have just been scratching our heads ever since, and particularly the last few days, going, how the fuck did we lose to that Cowboys team? So that's why I sort of think, you know, a nice early start for us in Canberra, cooler conditions, an opportunity for us to just hit them while we're fresh. And yeah, like you said, just play that controlled football that we, I'd love to say that we know that they have it in them, but what I'd like to see is more just that 70 minutes of consistent footy. I don't know how this one's going to go as well. Cause what have we had? We've had three games in a row up at McDonald Jones Stadium, haven't we?
Yep.
So this is, you know, the last time we travelled, it didn't go particularly well for us. I'm a bit curious as to how this is going to go. But, you know, look, we're coming top. We're in the top two at the moment. I think we've got the firepower to get over them this weekend. So 11 o'clock Saturday. It's another big Saturday for all things Newcastle Knights.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Saturday after, we've got the home doubleheader in the girls. The Broncos and Tigers play at the 11 o'clock game, and then we play the Roosters at 1:30, I think. In a doubleheader. Hopefully the men will play, you know, maybe on that Saturday night too. So it might be a huge day at McDonald Jones Stadium.
Well, I was genuinely just about to say, yeah, surely someone at the NRL is going, look, we know that 5th and 6th host their Onyx, but surely they're just going, wherever the Knights finish, they are the third game at McDonald Jones Stadium next
season. See, the problem is, Bud, they won't flow into each other. So the girls will finish at 3,
yep.
And the first NRL final won't be until 6.
Oh, you know? Okay. Yeah.
And I think that 6 o'clock game will be the Warriors game, so that it's not on too late in New Zealand.
Well, no, see, if the Warriors finish, they don't host a game. Oh, no,
that's
sorry.
What I'm saying, but if they play at 8 o'clock our time, it's 10 o'clock in New Zealand.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that to the Warriors fans.
Bretto, what are you talking about? Newcastle is the centre of rugby. It fucking has to revolve around us, mate. I want us to be happy. Stuff everyone. No, that's actually fair. I obviously hadn't considered that at all. Hey, this has been a marathon, absolute marathon session, no pun intended. So I think we might leave it there. But yeah, look, Bay 53, we're going to try and represent at the Knights Dragons game down at Cogra this weekend. So yeah, if you see us, give us a shout out and come and say hello. But yeah, Bretto, it's just I have to admit to you, this has been the most fun to record a Bay 53 episode, even more so than after the round one win against the Roosters last year. And I didn't think anything was going to top that, because that was such an amazing occasion. And I still remember when we did that, we're like, recording Knights fan podcasts is easy.
Yeah, we've made the finals the last 2 years. We start last season beating the Roosters in Sydney. How good's this team?
Well, look, as always, everybody, thank you for listening through to the end. We'll see what happens with the United. And look, you know, regardless of what happens this weekend, regardless of what happens in the final, you know, soak it up. Enjoy this, because God knows that we've been supporting this team long enough where, you know, we should enjoy every moment of the good times that do come along. And, you know, fuck anyone who has any problem with how you want it. You do you. So, thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the week and enjoy the rugby league.
Thanks, guys.
Sports Best Friends would like to thank you for listening right to the end. You are our kind of people. Find other great sports podcasts in our family by subscribing. And remember, social media isn't a bad place. You just need to follow the right people.